Welcome to the CTO Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the challenges and opportunities facing today's chief technology officers. Looking to discover what it takes to succeed as a CTO? Then sit back and relax as we explore the fascinating evolution of the world of technology leadership. Here's the host of the CTO Podcast, the founder of Seven CTOs, Etienne De Bruin.
Welcome to the CTO Podcast. I'm your host, Etienne De Bruin. Joining us is Adrian Estala, who is the VP and Field Chief Data Officer at Starburst, which is the analytics engine for all your data. Starburst provides the fastest, most efficient analytics engine for your data warehouse, data lake, or data mesh. Starburst unlocks the value of distributed data by making it fast and easy to access no matter where it lives. And today, Adrian and I are going to discuss the evolution of the Chief Data Officer role. Okay, here's my conversation with Adrian Estala, the VP Field Chief Data Officer at Starburst. Welcome, brother.
Hey, fantastic. Awesome to be here.
I wish everyone can see that you are surrounded by lizards.
It's going to paint a pretty picture for the audience there. I am in a room full of lizards and enclosures, so they're not loose and they're not wild.
Do you sit back and sort of relax and meditate?
Yeah, they bring a level of peace. And I'll tell you what, at night, especially the frogs get going. It's like you're in the Amazon. You got crickets, you got frogs.
That's incredible. You
know, it's pretty neat.
Is your office at a certain temperature?
Yeah, well, it is hot, unfortunately. So I keep a fan, but we're gonna turn this into a reptile show. But for sure, every one of these enclosures has a very specific humidity requirement and a temperature requirement. Yeah, for sure.
Is it one of those situations where daddy took the kids project way too seriously, which CTOs tend to do?
You know, it's about passion and focus, right? I thought it'd be fun during COVID to teach my kids some things about ecosystems. And so we started like a data ecosystem, but this was an animal ecosystem. And we started with a chameleon. And next thing you know, we've got frogs and geckos and bearded dragons and blue-tongued skinks, and then the insects to feed them. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. And then the insects feed on things. I don't even want to talk about that. So let's talk about the chief data officer role. You know, sometimes when I see CDO, I see chief digital officer. Talk to me a little bit about data and, you know, maybe a little bit about Starburst and give the listener some context as to what we're talking about.
First, I think when we think about the CDO role, and as you said, right, I've heard chief data officer, chief digital officer. You also have chief analytics officers or chief data analytics officers. And so I think there's a lot of different plays in the word. And the reason for that is it's fairly new, right? It's a new role. I was the first CDO in my area when I was at Shell, right? And so it's not something that I would say is really mature, and it's still maturing, right? And so we think about what a CDO does, for sure, right? Data is the key word, but that's such a big term. I love your show, and I promise I'm going to go listen to all your shows once we're done here. But when you think about the CTO role and you think about the CDO role, I find that really interesting. I was excited to kind of bring this to the show because I deal with a lot of CTOs that are CDOs, right? They've added CDO to their title. And I deal with CDOs that act a lot like CTOs, right? And so I think those two roles are really similar. I have some ideas of how they differ. But I think, you know, when you start thinking about what that role is and how it functions, I think you first have to think about and accept that they're very similar. And then you can start to understand the differences. But your question was, what is it, or what is the data side of it? And I think for a CDO, what's unique about it is you have a really broad scope. I'm going to start to paint a picture as we talk about this, but if you're the CDO in the center and you look backwards, you see governance, you see capabilities, data capabilities, right? And you see and start to manage how to apply that governance and capabilities, how to make it fit to different business problems, right? How to make it fit to different use cases, so to speak. And all of that has operations underneath it, right? So you're responsible for quite a bit. Early CDOs, that's all they did. That's all they focused on. Me as an early CDO, just get the data governance right. Modern CDOs also now are starting to focus on the other side as well, right? And so we're on radio, and so no one's going to see my hands moving. But on the right side, if you turn around for a modern CDO, you're also thinking about the business, you're thinking about specific use cases, you're thinking about the projects that are going to deliver those use cases, and you're thinking about the business strategy that you're ultimately trying to drive against. And what underscores all of that is execution. So over here, I'm worried about governance and operations and capabilities on the left side. And on the right side, I'm worried about use cases and projects and strategy and execution. Huge scope for a CDO. And I think if you ask most CTOs, they would say, whoa, that's not my concern. I might be focused on specific areas.
And it seems that it would be dependent on the company. What is the value that the company is bringing to its clients and customers? And with Starburst, what do you do?
You know, I love talking to customers with a CDO lens. When you want to understand a new technology, if you're an architect, tell me what it is. Tell me how it works, right? I want to get my hands on it. I want to see how it functions, right? And as a young engineer, that's what I was all about. When you put the CDO hat on, you're like, hold on a second. Don't sell me a marketing term. Don't sell me on the buzz, so to speak. Help me understand the business problems that it's going to solve. And so when I first saw Starburst, to be transparent, a year and a half ago, and I was sitting across the table from a salesperson, I told the sales guy, I said, you're selling it wrong, right? You're giving me a little piece, but actually you don't appreciate the bigger value you could bring. And so when I bring a CDO lens to the conversation, I think first and foremost, any CDO, any C-level discussion, you have to be holistic in your conversation, right? You can't come and say, I do this. You come in and say, let me understand your ecosystem, all the things I talked about earlier, right? The business problems on the right side and the technology on the left side. Let me understand your ecosystem. And then let me tell you where Starburst fits in, right? I'm going to make it easy for you. Because that was always a hard thing for me as a CDO, is trying to figure out where to put different pieces. And then you would say, well, hold on a second, I've already got that piece. Why do I need another one, right? And so when you can take that big view and you can say, Starburst is a proven capability that you can bring in that'll help you leverage all your data where it is today. I think a lot of us, one of the struggles or one of the big challenges for a CDO is trying to get to that data. Many people would say, that's the big problem. And when you can come in and say, let me federate across those data sources, I don't care if it's in the cloud, I don't care if it's on-premise, I love it if it's in the lake, but if it's in another warehouse or a relational database or something else, that's okay as well. Let me federate across it and I can solve that first problem for you. I can make it available to you. You don't have to migrate it. That's a huge step forward, right? That's the first problem we're solving, because that's a big pain point for a CDO. Key message there, Etienne, being, let me leverage the data where it sits today.
Just to put a bow on that, I'm assuming in a company where data is the product or analytics is the product, the role of CDO is probably, you know, product focused, product sales focused, because like you said, you speak to customers, you speak to CTOs where you help them sort of excavate what the data can do without them having to migrate their data. So I imagine that the role of CDO then is different than a company that, let's say, is not doing data as a product or analytics as a product, but is curious or feels like they need to unearth what their data can do to leverage whatever service or product they are providing.
Yeah, I like the way you said that, unearth. I think that's the way it feels. It feels like a big excavation oftentimes. When you are in a situation in an organization where you know that you're only using a fraction of your data, right? You've got a lot more data. There was a Boston Consulting Group study that was talking about how much data we have, how much data we store, how much data we actually use. And I forget the exact numbers, but it was something to the effect of, we're storing like less than 50% of the data that's available. And of that data that we're storing, I think it was less than 30 that we're actually using. But if you think of the broader base of all the data that's available, I mean, there's a lot of data going unused and a lot of data going ultimately not exploited, right? We're not using that data to solve business problems. So unearthing is the first challenge, right? I think when you can unearth that data and start to make it useful for a lot of companies, that's the win, right? They stop right there. I solved the problem. All we were trying to do was unearth the data. I've made it available. Other companies, and everybody's different, right? Other organizations that may be a bit more advanced or more mature in their data culture or their digital transition, they would say, it's not enough, right? Great, I got the data. Thanks a lot. We celebrated. It's Cinco de Mayo. I have my tequila, but hold on a second. It's Monday again, and I got to do something else. I got to find a way to take that data. You used the word product a second ago. I've got to find a way to take all that data that I unearthed that I've never touched before and I got to make it useful to somebody. I need to make that data useful to somebody. And making it useful to somebody doesn't mean that I'm going to give them everything, right? It means that I have to find a way to give them the pieces that they need. I've unearthed mounds and mounds of data, but they want a pebble from that pile. They want a shovel from that pile. And they want maybe a bucket of dirt from that pile. And if I can bring that data together, put it together for them, and then describe it. Here's what it is. Here's where it came from. Here's how you should use it and deliver that to them. I've done something great. Now I've given them something they can use.
Yeah. And it seems to me like a lot of us CTO types are data hoarders, where you want to capture data just in case. Or so much of the debate is around, you know, if you talk to a data scientist, what they would say, data science is really a simple algorithms on the data that you need. And it's when we have all this extra data, or we, you know, like you said, data that you don't really know what to do with. I find that it's hard for us CTO types to know, should I be hoarding data and just for what if reasons and build up that data lake, incur those expenses because who knows what I could find in that? Or do you subscribe to the, hey, you know, capture the data that you need and don't worry about, you know, about the stuff that you don't know, that you don't know what to do with?
I think I'm moving beyond the point where I have to start worrying about what data I really need. So you know where that comes from? This idea of what data you really need. It's because it was so hard to get the data. Somebody would come and say, I need all of it. And you're like, hold on a second. You know how much it's going to cost? You know how long it's going to take? Can't give it to you, all right? If you can just be really specific, I can get it to you faster and it'll cost less money. And so you force the business teams to be really particular, but the reality is they don't really know what they want. Or they're like, I've had that conversation. Well, Adrian, can you show me what we have? I can't. So you run into this, you're in this forever loop with the business teams where they're asking for small pieces because they can't ask for all of it. And you never really get there, or you get there over a long period of time. The reason I say I'm past that is because, hold on a second. What if I could say I can make it all available? Because you know what? I'm not going to have to move it anywhere. So you're not going to wait. I'm going to make it all available, and I'm going to sit down with you and we're going to discover it together. And we're going to figure out which pieces you need. And here's the real winner, right? Once you figure out how you want that data put together into a product, I guarantee you there's 10 other people in the company that could really use that data product. And they're not going to have to go through the same exercise because they can use it right off the shelf. They can pick it up and start to use it. And now you make it really easy for people to innovate, invent how to use the data you've unearthed. And you've also made it easier for people just to pick up what somebody's already built.
So can you give me some examples of, you know, maybe in Starburst's portfolio or some of your own experiences where you've seen this happen and how seemingly unusable data turned into something usable?
Let's look at a couple of different use cases. Let's look at a finance use case, and maybe we'll toss a pharma in, and maybe we'll toss energy in or something like that. Finance is amazing, right? On the finance side, I think it's because they're moving very quickly with this notion of data products. And when I look at any of the big banks that we work with and how they're using Starburst, but more importantly, how they're driving that data product ecosystem, I think that anytime you talk about data products, as much as I would love to say, it's all Starburst, I'm a CDO, right? Let's holistic, right? Most companies are going to have data products coming from different places. That's okay. That's all right, right? It's being smart about where you build them and how people use them, right? And so we do love and we think we have advantages the way that we build them, but sometimes you will have data products coming from other places. So if you're a finance organization, let's think about something like an anti-money laundering space, right? Where you're building these really advanced risk models. And you can build risk models really, really fast. But getting the data to feed the risk models takes a long time. Hey, I've got a new idea for how to incorporate social data and transaction data and these event data into a new risk model. And if I can feed the engine, it's going to be very accurate in terms of identifying potential fraud. Awesome. Deploy it. I need data to deploy it. Great. Where's the data? It's over here. I got to move the data from there to there to there before I can even test the model, right? Now, with data products and for that team, you can say, hold on a second. If the data product is already built, you can immediately reuse that data product, right? And again, the data product isn't something somebody's moved physically somewhere. Rather, it's a kind of a virtual entity that somebody says, I need it. Now they can refresh it and they can have a materialized view or a cache view of that data product. But ultimately, they're able to reuse what they have. If the data doesn't exist, they can very easily sit back and say, okay, I'm going to query that, query this, and query this. I'm going to create a federated query and bring that data forward, and I can test those models very quickly, right? So now I'm able to allow these teams that are building models easier access to existing data products and easier or faster access to new data products, right? And so that's one way, a small way in finance.
Let me ask you on that, and again, in the context of CDOing, you talked about models quite a bit there. So in this day and age, is that in your purview as well? Is how the models are trained and built?
I wish. I think there's some CDOs out there that would say absolutely, right? I had this conversation recently, and we're going to go off tangent for a second, but I promise I'll be back fast, about the perfect CDO. And I was comparing it to MMA fighters, right? And I was like, you know, a CDO would like to be, to me, like a Nate Diaz or a Conor McGregor, right? Or I always say that I'm wrong, Nurmagomedov, right? Perfectly balanced fighter that can do boxing and kickboxing and jiu-jitsu. You've got the grappling game and the boxing game and everything in between. That's what a CDO would like to be like. But the reality is all CDOs are very different. And a CDO doesn't fight in the ring alone. A CDO has a team. When you think about everything's going on right now with LLMs on the AI side and ChatGPT-4 and all that stuff. Man, as a CDO, every night I'm doing something on ChatGPT-4 and I can't keep up with it. It's not my role. And a lot of the CDOs that I talk to, it's not their role, right? It's not my role to be an expert in those models. It's not my role to be an expert in AI. It sounds wrong saying it, but I've got so many things to worry about in the grand scope of everything that I have to manage that I just don't have the time. I have to rely on that expertise. I think the CTO does, though. I think the CTO does have to be an expert in those things.
That's very interesting. So just to recap, you mentioned sort of when you were describing the role is there's the governance side of things, which I'm assuming includes protection, privacy, you know, GDPR, all that kind of stuff that it falls under your purview. And then on the other side, which you pointed away from the lizards, was about productization and how data can be leveraged in order to help companies provide, you know, better products and services or even products that they didn't know existed.
That's right. And if you're really good and you have a really efficient data platform, you're able to take your capabilities and very easily, in a very agile way, deliver specific use cases. And so the biggest issue for a CDO, especially in a big company, is every one of your business consumers has a different ask, right? They want to use oftentimes the same data, but they want to use it differently.
Let's talk about that next week because I really want to get into the cost and the complexity around that. So you up for another one?
Let's do it.
Okay. That wraps up this episode of the CTO podcast. Thanks to Adrian Estala, VP and Field Chief Data Officer at Starburst for joining us. In part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow, Adrian and I are going to discuss architectures and ways to manage data costs and complexity. If you can't wait until our next episode and would like to learn more about Adrian, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter where his handle is AdrianEstala_, or visit his company website at starburst.io. Just one link in our show notes I want to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while listening to this podcast, head over to ctopod.com, where we have summaries of all our episodes and contact information for our guests. And if you want to share your stories of technical strategy and leadership in the C-suite, you can apply to be a guest speaker on the CTO podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is 7CTOs on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is @DeBruin. If you haven't subscribed yet and want a steady stream of CTO brilliance in your podcast feed, we're publishing multiple episodes each week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow. Okay, that's all for today. But until next time, remember that if things aren't breaking, your company isn't growing.